It's Reefer Madness, the podcast with Trevor and Kirk.
Kirk.
It's February 7th.
We're back.
Reefer Madness, the podcast.
I don't think we say this often enough. I'm Trevor Schufeld. I'm the pharmacist.
And I'm Kirk Nyquist. I am a registered nurse.
So, Kirk, we usually talk about cannabis, i.e. stuff with lots of THC in it. Today is a little different. Kirk, I hear you went out for a snowmobile ride.
I did. I think you call it sledding.
Do we call it sledding?
Wait, I don't know.
You're a sled neck now?
I'm a sled neck now. You know that there is basically a winter sledding highway in Manitoba, like literally a highway of sledders.
Of sledders. All right. Yeah, I can tell you do this all the time.
Oh, I do it all the time. Yeah, me and my cross country skis on a sled. You know, Trevor, I made a cold call, and I'm so pleased.
Cold call on a sled. There you
made
go.
A call.
I like that.
You like that? A pun. Our buddy, our friend Kale, and people will remember Kale from way back in episode 2, season 1, episode 2. He was one of the patients. He was the one doing Nabilone, and there's a huge update on Kale's story that I'd love to tell, but he just doesn't want to tell us.
Well, that's it. That's his right, but you're drifting, man. You're drifting.
It's a rabbit hole. So Kale invited me out to go sledding, and so I'm on the back of this sled, and we're going down the sled highway, and we're going to go to Kayla Lukey's place. Kayla owns a coffee shop in Gilbert Plains. Not Grandview, and I guess we ended up going to Grandview.
You're a little lost.
Yeah, we're a little lost. Her business is called Old September, and Kayla Lukey, you'll remember because she's been featured on our show as an artist and is a well-known musician in our area. She has a little business. So again, I digress. So Kayla and I are on the sled, and we're going towards Gilbert to have a coffee at Kayla's, and I say to him, you know, I should really stop in and see Hemp Sense. Kale goes, oh, you know, he's a pretty gruff guy, you know. Oh, okay, I'll sit down and have a cigarette while you interview this guy. Okay, that's great, Kale, thanks. So we go to Hemp Sense, and Hemp Sense is a business that basically is in an old grain elevator.
Right.
Right?
Lots of those around here.
Yeah, you pass it on the highway. It's, you know, they've got the Hemp Sense logo. So Kale pulls up, and we pull up into the parking lot. And as we pull up, I look out the curtain, and somebody's pulling back the curtain looking at us. And we're sitting there, you know, this is the...
Release the hounds.
Release the... Yeah. So, of course, this is the center of the continent in January. So, of course, we have to delayer ourselves. So off comes the helmet and down, and Kale lights up his cigarette, and I'm getting off my layers. And they're still peeking at us going, what the hell? I walk in the door, and I go, I'm looking for Lyle Bates. Who's looking for him? Well, you know, I introduced myself. My name is Kirk Nyquist. My wife writes for the Dauphin Herald, and she did a story on your business, and I'd really like to do something with our podcast, blah, blah, blah. And the guy walks out of his office and stares. I mean, this is a farmer dude, right? There's no tie. There's no hush puppies. This guy is a 50-something, 60-something farmer, walks out, and he's looking at me, and he's like, okay, I'm sure there's a shotgun here someplace, right? And he's so, well, what do you want? I want to do a podcast. And I bring out the phone. I show him and go, so are you Lyle? Yeah. Will you give us an interview? You know, I'm bombarded by all sorts of stuff. You know, I sent you an email. I get 1,000 emails. Well, can I set up a date for you? You know, and he, well, yeah, maybe we can do that. And I said, well, how about now? Right? And he says, okay. So I bring out my phone. I just hit record. So we walk into the coffee room, and he tells me the story of Hemp Sense. And I just sat there. Kale walked in, sat beside me, and we just listened to this guy talk. And let's hear the story.
Yeah, no, this is a fascinating story. But remember, all for public service out there, if you see a redheaded nurse walking up to you with a phone, be prepared to be interviewed.
Hello, I'm the president of Hemp Sense Inc. from Gilbert Plains, Manitoba.
Fantastic. What do you do at Hemp Sense?
Hemp Sense, what we do here is we set up a company here that's the first company in the world that actually shreds hemp waste straw. It makes products out of it. We make 6 or 7 products out of the waste straw, and we also use the seed. We have products for just the seed, and also the hulls off the seed, we make products out of that. So we use all the, there's no waste to any of the hemp straw. And then we also use the buds and leaves, which we harvest off the field and make a product that's ready for extracting CBD out of the biomass.
Boy, that's a whole lot of stuff. So let's start with the first one. You're the first company in the world to do what you're doing.
Yes.
So you are taking a sativa strain of hemp.
Yes.
That grows very tall, and you're using every part of it. You're using the fiber, the seeds, everything.
Yes.
Wow. What do you do with that? What do you do with the fiber? Let's start with the fiber.
The fiber is the toughest fiber in the world, so it's very hard to shred. For the last 100 years, they've been separating the fiber in the herd. The herd's used for bedding, insulation, where they use lime and they spray it into homes and that for insulation. The fiber's used for clothing, insulation also. But what we set up here, we shred the whole bale and we make pellets out of it, and then we make crumbles for cat litter, gardening bedding, small animal bedding, garden enhancer, and we use the dust for oil absorbing cleanups. So we've got use of everything.
So everything you farm and produce out of this plant, you use, or are you sending stuff for other companies to use?
We do everything here. Everything's finished product here, shipped out of here.
Do you have surplus of stuff you don't use for your products and send elsewhere?
No, we use everything.
Okay, so your business, we've actually used some of your garden stuff. That's really cool. And we've actually sent out your cat litter stuff to friends in Alberta who are actually actively searching it. Where would people buy these products? The cat litter, the garden enhancer, where would you buy
them? Right now, we're in some local stores and Freedom Pets out of Ontario, just taking our products. That'll be all through Ontario. They're going to be probably one of our main marketers.
Okay. So that's the fiber. You use the seeds. What do you do with the seeds?
The seed, we make a pet booster out of it. It's good for the pets, but we actually put a natural chicken flavoring with it. So it's good for dogs and cats. It's good for their joints. It's good for hair loss. So that's a product we use the seed for.
Does it help with my hair loss?
Yeah, I don't know about it. If you've lost it already, you're probably done. And we also use the seed for human use. We bag that here. And then we have the hulls. That's the outside of the shell that we use actually for horse supplement.
Okay, wow. So now in Dauphin, I can go into the co-op and buy hemp scent seeds.
Yes.
Where else can people buy hemp scent seeds?
Hemp scent seeds are in the co-op right now.
Is it a Manitoba market?
Yes, it's a Manitoba market right now. Okay. We're actually not pushing on that market simply because Manitoba harvest is very large. They're right through North America. So we've kind of shied away from that market and more into the pet market.
Okay, so let's broach into the CBD market. You obviously have heard of the CBD and you're into that game. So does this manufacturer also deal with CBD?
Yes, this company was focused number one to start with was CBD. Actually, when we built this company, it was we actually got patents back in CBD 2014, 2013 before CBD was even mentioned. So we've been working with CBD probably for 7-8 years, not selling it, not marketing. It was against the law, but we've been testing how you take it off the field, how you save the strains, different strains, higher strains of CBD oil in it, and keeping the THC low. We've actually harvest last year, we did 320 acres. We had an average of 1.5% strain in the field. After drying, curing, and storing, we've averaged 1.36. So we're about 90% saving on the strain doing this commercial out in the fields. We designed all our own equipment. Today, we are now going to design a new harvester. We're in the works of one I put together that we can do up to 200 acres a day with one person.
Well, again, you throw stuff at me. So let's take a step backwards. This is, you're extracting the CBDs from cannabis, but a hemp strain.
Yes, hemp strain. It's a it's a low THC.
High CBD. And how high does your plants get in CBD?
CBD, I mean, everybody in the world's growing higher CBD strains, trying to get it higher, the better, of course. Mm-hmm. But the highest one recorded in North America today, what's approved is, what I know of, is a 4.
A 4. And yes. But that's industrial hemp strains of cannabis.
Yes.
Opposed to the marijuana strains of cannabis, where something like a Charlotte's Web is getting up to 10 to 20% CBDs.
Yes. And then we have a lot happening here. Hemp was just allowed to farm in the United States last year. So they didn't even have many hemp strains out there. I mean, the highest commercial one was about 2%. You've seen a lot of 18s and 20s and 20 some percent, but that was what you call a hybrid. So that's putting marijuana with hemp and calling it hemp. But the industry really got shaken last year with a lot of people crossing strains, selling strains, and people didn't know what they were doing. So they grew strains that were too high. The government has destroyed a lot of this biomass, and they will not allow you to extract CBD out of hemp if your THC is over 0.3.
Okay, but I think for me to understand the difference between, because cannabis is cannabis, right? Cannabis includes what we call marijuana, which people consume for medicine or for a high.
Yes.
And hemp is the manufactured side that's for industrial, for building materials and that sort of stuff.
Yes.
Is there a difference between the CBDs found in the marijuana strains compared to the industrial hemp strains? Is there a difference in the CBDs?
No, I don't believe there is. It's just that you want to keep the THC down. But again, the industry
is that the secret then? So, for example, when people are growing high CBD marijuana strains, there's a percentage of THC in those strains?
Yes.
I see. So in your strains, it's strictly CBD and no THC?
No THC, but there will be our strains. There is some, but very, very little, like 0.0.1.
Okay. Now, is there a difference in extracting the CBDs from an industrial hemp versus the marijuana?
No, they use the same CO2 or ethanol. It's the same type of extraction. I think the big difference is that most marijuana, it's supposed to be grown indoors, controlled, and greenhouses not. Hemp can be done that way too. But if you're growing strains of 2 or 3 or 4% or 5% of CBD in hemp, your cost is going to be too high in a greenhouse.
Okay. So is it possible for you to grow a field of Charlotte's Web that has 20%?
No.
No, it's not. That's why not?
Because your strain, if it's CBD right now, high like that, your THC is going to be high, probably over 0.03. So once it goes into the lab and they test your strain, and if it's over 0.03, they destroy it.
Okay, now is that because you're not registered as a cannabis distribution or grower? You're registered as a hemp grower?
Yeah, there is. You can't just grow marijuana out in your field.
Okay, you have to have 4 plants or less or be registered as a grower.
Yes, right now, commercial, you can put hemp out there. You can take the strain off it. You can get a license for that. But again, what the governments are doing, everything's coming in place yet. FDA, United States, they've got a lot to work out down there. But Health Canada has really stepped up here. They've, you get your license, you grow it, that you can grow what you want. But at the end of the day, when it goes into the lab, traceability, everything's got to be done. They test it. If the tests are within the rules, then you're okay. If it's not, they destroy it.
Okay, and that's because you're registered as a hemp farmer, not as a marijuana grower.
Yes.
Interesting.
And they're doing
government
tests.
Bureaucracies.
Yeah, right? And we're working with a doctor right now that's very educated. She's actually got about 7,000 clients right now. She's actually working now to see what the difference is and how it reacts on patients with taking CBD from marijuana compared to CBD and hemp. So I think the thing is the industry come in so quick with CBD. Is the problem is when it did come out and all the news what CBD could do, we still need more proof. We need more testing. We need more doctors to test this. But at the end of the day, the industry jumped quicker than the market was there.
Right, but you were ready, right? You guys, you've been doing this a long time.
Yeah, we've been, this is, I've been doing this 15 years, and I've been probably working with the strains.
Growing hemp for 15 years?
Yeah, not growing it, working with it. I let the farmers grow it.
Okay. What is your background?
I'm a background farmer.
Okay, you're background. So do you have any university degrees?
No. Learned and background farm boy and designed all this equipment myself. No engineers, nobody.
Okay. Yep. Very cool. So now, again, just take a step back on CBDs. Is CBD extracted from the flower, from the leaves, from the stem? Where is it extracted from?
There's CBD in the whole hemp plant. But on your stem, which is a fiber in the herd.
Which is what you're using for the cat litter and stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
That would not be worth extracting.
Okay.
The cost is too much for what you're getting. What you want is, the perfect product you want is just the buds.
Okay.
But
and you're growing male flowers, right?
We're male and female.
And female. Yes. Hybrids or what are they?
Ours aren't hybrids.
Okay.
Now, if you go into a greenhouse where they're doing marijuana, they handpick all the leaves off. They just take the buds.
Right.
Where we are out in the field here with the hemp, taking it off with equipment in large scale, we're taking all the buds and leaves.
Okay.
So our leaves are in with the buds right now.
Okay.
So we extract that. Now, what we do is, and our plan is to extract large volumes. We're looking at the company that we're working with right now is, we'll be putting 100,000 pounds through per month.
Of seeds and
of just buds and leaves.
Of buds.
Buds
okay.
Leaves.
So let's walk through this. So the farmer grows the hemp, you come in and harvest. So your machines, leave the stems behind, take the small leaves and the flowers.
Yes.
And then the small leaves and the flowers come here. And then obviously you must also have to quickly get the stems off the field.
No, you can leave the stems in the field for, you can harvest, like if you want to take them off for waste straw, what we make our products, you can take them off that fall or you can take them off in the following spring.
So there's no worry of composting of the stems? Okay.
No.
It's the composting of the flowers and small leaves that you want to get off.
Yes, you got to get them off. You've got about 2 hours.
Okay.
As soon as you get them off the field, they've got to be put through a dryer.
Okay, and the dryer's here?
Yeah.
Okay, so now you dry the buds and the flowers, and of course I'm not going to ask you to give me any insights on your processes, but you must shake the seeds off the buds because you harvest the seeds separately, don't you?
It's wet biomass when you take it off, so you dry it down to a certain temperature, and then you actually screen it to take the seed out, and then you actually
cure the seeds.
The biomass, the seed you just remove.
Okay.
But then the seed isn't a waste because we can use it for our pet booster.
Okay.
So it's not a waste, but the buds and leaves you want clean, but they've got to be cured right. There's the big catch.
So when you say cured, is that sort of like I'm assuming there's going to be CBDA in there. So by curing, are you now converting the CBDA into CBD?
No, you actually, the CBD's in the buds and leaves.
As an acid, right? As a raw acid.
Yes, it's already in there. So when you're drying it, that's why it's important. You can, if you use too much heat, you'll lose it.
Right.
If you over dry it, you'll lose it. So you've got to dry it at a certain temperature to bring it down. And then when you screen it and take the seed away, then the curing, you've now got a biomass that is dry but not cured.
But the curing is the heating process?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
Okay.
That's where we've come up with technology and patents and we've got for North America that how we dry it, how we separate the seeds, and then how we cure it.
All right.
And that's information that we keep in the company.
And that's what's going to make you guys fantastic and wealthy, I take it.
Well, it's not about, I think the biggest thing is it was a challenge. It was a,
a passion.
Yeah. And I'll admit the first 6 years I took small plots off and we just destroyed them. But learning, I failed 6 times.
Well, who was it that said, is it Edison? It's not how many times you fail, it's that you continue to still succeed, right?
Right. And you know what? It was, I always believed it was there. It was just a matter of how you did it.
And you did it.
Yeah. And there's a lot of, Everything's simple, but when you don't got no companies or nothing on the internet to help you, it's all learning, right? Mm-hmm. So the strains will change in the field if it's cloudy. 2 years ago, we had smoke in BC. It covered the skies in smoke all summer. Strains went down.
Huh. So you're so far ahead of the curve on this CBD craze, I take it. Are you ready for the blow up? I mean, now you guys have started small. You've got your patents pending. You're ready to go. How big does Hemp Sense get?
We've got actually, I believe about 5 or 6 patents proved already. I've just finished actually one today. Another one just went in. So another patent pending. But as far as we can take Hemp Sense is probably where it is right now.
Is that size basically?
No, it can grow. Ready to grow. It's ready to take off. I believe we're ranked number one CBD company in the world by analysts.
And it's a privately owned company, right?
Yep, it's privately owned. So it's been we didn't run for government grants and that. This is all private money. And we took our baby steps. We didn't go out and grow a whole bunch of acres and take a lot of risk. We did 330 to prove that we knew what we were doing. As far as I know, there's no biomass in the world been taken off and saved 90% of the strain. Right now we have about 110,000 acres got seeded last year for CBD in Canada. About 96% of that will be burnt.
Really?
Yes.
Because people not knowing how
to farm it, not knowing how to harvest it, not knowing how to dry it, not having the proper equipment, not knowing what they're dealing with, and just think you just cut it and squeeze it. It don't work that way.
So what do you think when people are saying that the problem with Canada is that we don't have the mass? I was talking to a guy a couple of years ago that says that South America is going to get into CBD game and the cannabis and the hemp game, and they're going to just outproduce us.
I disagree. I think right now Canada's the leader. I believe Hemp Sense is one of the leaders. We've drawn attention from a lot of companies all over the world. We've had a lot of the marijuana companies try to join with us or partner with us. I've turned them all down. I don't want to be in the marijuana. I'm not against the marijuana, but it's not what I believe in. I believe and I want to have a product with hemp. As far as the United States, let's look at, what was it, a week ago, $13 million of biomass just got destroyed. 15 companies, including Charlotte's Web, got shut down. Putting products on the market that doesn't even have CBD in it. They have no products hardly even on the market that's approved by FDA. Today, there's no CBD oil approved by Health Canada. And
that's an interesting comment you're making.
Yes,
and because there are companies out there that are selling CBD wellness, and you're saying they're not regulated by not approved.
Yes, and the way around that is you sell online and that. And we've been selling hemp seed out of here, where companies are actually squeezing it and bottling it and selling it as CBD oil, and it's actually hemp seed oil, which has no CBD in it. So it's a fraud. It's a big scam. It's a gold rush right now. I'm glad Health Canada is being strict on this and weed these people out, because let's face it, people are buying a product that they're not getting.
So have you sold any of your CBD extract for use human consumption?
Not yet.
But you have demonstrated that your technology gives people pure CBD for that use.
Yes, we've done all the testing. We've been working with the extraction company. In fact, we've got two companies we're working with. One is in Toronto, one is in Manitoba. One in Toronto should have a license here any day, which we've been told by Health Canada. That is a goal for me to, we're hoping here by March 1st to have bottles labeled Hemp Sense. First oil approved in North America we know of that's actually approved by Health Canada, but has CBD in it.
Without THC, pure. So it's an isolate.
Yes,
it's an isolate.
So that'd be, and then we're looking at. Right now, we are looking at partnering with a very large company that does the extraction, because that's the only thing Hemp Sense doesn't do. I think this is going to be a great joint venture for us, and I think we can take this to another level. This year, we're planning to do between 2,000 to 3,000 acres, and then keep growing from there. But you only have about 40 days to take this off the field.
That's what we learned in Hemp Puree. The first one is that it's grass.
Yeah.
So grass composts.
Yeah.
And that's your technology.
And there's everything's easy once you know, but we've got some, you know, we've patented all our work, and now it's time to grow this. But yeah, we've got, every day we get calls from other parts of the world.
Yeah. So yeah. You're truly ahead of the curve. Everyone's on this gold rush and you guys are waiting and watching them go by.
Yeah.
They're going to make the same mistakes you made and you're going to be that far ahead.
There's lots. We get calls from farmers all over Canada right now trying to sell us their biomass, and we run, you know, get samples and we get a sample sent away to a lab and come back and it's not even worth extracting.
Wow.
Yeah. farmers just took it off wrong, you know, cutting the whole stalk and baling it wet and getting mold in it, and it's just not that easy.
But here's a question. I mean, hemp used to be 100 years ago, 250 years ago, was the crop. So is it because farmers are trying to grow such large quantities, many acres, that they're having problems? Is hemp a small crop?
Oh, no. When hemp got brought into Canada here, it was actually a parkland that started it. Joey Fedorowicz was one of the first guys that started it. And Joey Fedorowicz is the reason I'm sitting here today. When he grew this, it was tough to grow this stuff. It was hard on equipment. It was easy to quit.
Right.
Most people would quit. But Joey was he was a lot like me. You don't walk away. You figure it out.
Yeah. So when you look at the fact that President Trump signed the Farmers Act that allows hemp now in America, right? If you were going to give those hemp farmers advice, right, what would you say to them that you've learned over the last 19, 20 years?
Well, I don't really say too much what happens in the United States.
Okay.
simply because... I think there was millions of acres of marijuana growing right outdoors, but that's none of my business.
Sure.
I don't care what happens across the line. As far as the Canadians, I do tell people, I tell them, be careful.
Okay.
Be careful what you're doing. Hemp can be farmed for seed. You can do a lot of acres, but when it comes to CBD, be careful. It can be done, but be careful. I would do more test plots, like 10 acres, 5 acres, learn how to do it. But just don't grow out and do 2,000 acres think you're just going to cut it and sell it. Because if you don't got a buyer, you're wasting your money.
Okay. Is there any information I didn't ask you? Anything you'd like our listeners to understand?
No, I think the biggest thing is it's coming, and more testing needs to be done in CBD. But I think with the testing coming in, the regulations coming in there, and where you can buy CBD that's actually approved by Health Canada, at least people know what they're buying.
All right. So Trevor... Wasn't that fun?
Yes, Kirk, you are the master of the cold call.
I enjoyed doing that. So HempSense, let's a little review on HempSense. It's a Manitoba-based company that processes industrial hemp to produce environmentally friendly hemp products. So what is hemp?
Well, that is the big question I had, and you guys went over it. But so correct me if I'm wrong. So as far as I can tell, hemp, cannabis, same stuff, except hemp is less than 0.03% THC. So as far as I can tell, that's it. That's the difference.
That's how Canada defines hemp. So basically cannabis is the overarching name, right? Cannabis includes marijuana. It includes, you know, Charlotte's Web. Cannabis includes hemp. So cannabis is the overarching name.
Well, and maybe we need a botanist to explain it more, but what I was getting is if you had two plants growing side by side, looking at it, you might not tell any difference. Even, you know, looking at it microscopically might not tell any difference until you send it to the lab and figure out the percent THC. If the percent THC is below 0.03, it can be called hemp. If it's above, it's not. So as far as I can tell, that's it. That's the difference.
I think that's a government definition, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But you know, for our purposes and for HempSense purposes, that's all that matters.
Well, exactly. Well, you and I took some pictures of each other in the hemp fields last summer, right? When
yes.
You fell off your bicycle.
Yes.
Or when I fell off my bicycle. Well, I think visually, when you look at a hemp plant, I think like hemp grows long and lean because they want the long fibers. Whereas I think marijuana grown plants tend to be a little shorter, a little bushier because they're focusing on the flowers and not so much the leaves and the fibers. So I think a grower might give you a different definition too.
Back to the, we've got a couple botanists and we really need to get one on here, but that's another story for another day.
Yeah. If you know a botanist, have them send us an email because we have been looking. So this company, HempSense, what I really like about this company is that he describes himself as a farmer.
Yeah, that is his qualifications. I'm a farmer.
Yeah, and Kale and I spent another hour with him just touring the plant, and we weren't allowed to take any pictures because everything in that plant has been fabricated by Lyle, by a farmer. And I said to him, "Well, you're not a machinist. How did you do this?" And two farmers, like him and his buddy who works for him was there, and they both looked at me like city dweller, right?
Idiot.
Well, yeah.
That's really what they're thinking.
Well, yeah. You know. But they pretty much looked at me and said, well, all that equipment you see is all equipment farmers use, and any farmer worth his salt would be able to do what I did, but I did it first, and I patented it. It's mine. I can't take pictures. Don't look at it. But this guy is built like there's conveyor belts, there's blowers, there's chutes, there's all sorts of stuff. Of course, it's not running because it's not the season. But he even collects his dust.
Okay, I don't remember that from the interview, or maybe I missed it. What does he do with the dust?
Well, he was telling me that he's getting this stuff analyzed by a university. Like everything he's doing is getting analyzed, right? And people are researching because what this guy is doing, no one in the world is doing. He's already been through it. Like you have the quote, right? You're like,
he had lots of good quotes, but one is just, you know, for the perseverance of the guy. So for the first 6 years, I took off the crop and failed six times, like 6 years in a row.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
We'll tweak this. Didn't work. Tweak that. Didn't work. Tweak that. You know, so you'd like to say you're a dog with a bone. I think he's a bigger dog with a bigger bone.
He's a dog on a hemp field. He has essentially taught himself how to farm hemp to the point of big acres, right? And he is being bombarded by people all over the world that are hearing about him, and he can't keep up. All he wants to do is just learn more about hemp and farm it. And here he is in Gilbert Plains, Manitoba. And he is probably the expert on farming hemp in the world. And he gave us an hour and a half of his time. It was astounding. Today is CBD Day.
CBD Day.
So let's talk a little bit more about CBD.
Where do you want to start with? Where do you want to start with on CBD this time? Because it's a big topic.
It's a big topic. Well, let's start in the very beginning. So CBD interacts with the CB1, CB2 receptors.
Yeah, but we don't think CBD actually connects to a receptor. We think it's more like I like to think about it as, so the receptor is kind of like a little tube. It kind of goes on the side of it and maybe affects how other things affect the CB2 receptor. But it does a lot of interesting stuff. And the part that always interests me is the anti-inflammatory parts. Is that sort of calming down the immune system when the immune system is doing bad things like, you know, creating multiple sclerosis and arthritis and, you know, so many chronic diseases have at least a component of inflammation in it. And CBD seems to be potently anti-inflammatory.
And HempSense right now, what he was telling me is he's in the process of being the first and therefore the only company in Canada, hemp company in Canada, that will have Health Canada certified CBD. Now, we're going to learn next week. A little buzz for next week's episode.
Who we have? We have a rock star. We have a rock star.
So on February 14th, we're dropping another CBD related episode.
It's Biff Naked. Just say it's Biff Naked.
Oh man, anticipation. Right?
Nope.
Okay. So now I've lost my train of thought. So now Biff Naked has. We're going to talk about her next week. They have a company, Mona Lisa Healing, that produces CBD oils as well. But what they've done is they've taken the CBD and put it into a coconut derivative oil, right? A coconut.
The medium chain triglycerides, which coconut is easy to get out of coconut.
Right. So I digress. That's next week. So listen to next week.
Yeah, back to HempSense.
What HempSense has done is that they have actually isolated The CBD, now this is full spectrum CBD, okay? This is a hemp plant, and he is growing hemp plants. I think he mentions in the interview that his is about 4% CBD in the plant.
Right. He specializes getting the flower, the bud, off of hemp
fiber.
Fiber in the field, getting it off, dried and cured. That's his big, he does other things, but that's sort of his big thing because that's really hard to do. Like you said, it's got to be done within about 2 hours of taking it off the field or it's gone.
It's grass. It basically composts.
And then he's sending it off to a big extractor to get.
No, he's actually extracting it. He's doing it N. Gilbert. He's actually creating the CBD essence.
No, he's sending it. He's got a big extractor in Toronto and one in Winnipeg. And the one in Toronto is going to be licensed to be an extractor in a couple days, couple weeks. So that the stuff out of the, as you said, the only thing they might do very small scale, but the only thing they're not sort of doing at scale in Gilbert is the extraction.
Right. But what he's sending to them, it almost looks like. Keef, when you clean a flower,
right?
So he's sending almost just like hash dust. He's sending that, and that is 100% CBD. Well, full spectrum. So the whatever residue, I shouldn't say residue, whatever THC is in the plant, the 0.03, right?
0.03? Less than 0.03% THC.
Right. So that's still in there. So he is actually, it's a full spectrum CBD powder.
Right, but that's probably, at least for right now, that's probably not what's going to go into a human.
No, but what it is, though, it's the oils, the natural oils. So where, and I asked them about this, where what other companies are doing is they're actually introducing oils into the CBD or the CBD into oils. His extraction process is actually taking the oils from the hemp plant that contains the CBD. So when you get it, it is pure hemp.
So it's going to be hemp. So it's going to be hemp-derived CBD in a hemp-derived oil.
Yeah, from the plants.
That's very cool.
And he's the only one doing it, and it's patented, and it's going to be Health Canada certified. Like, this isn't Gilbert Plains, Manitoba, man. No one's doing this.
Yeah, right? No, I was blown away at the whole interview, and the more I learn about what they do and what they'll tell us, the more impressed I am.
He's got 5 patents. Processing hemp stock patents. He's got processing parts and whole hemp stock patents. He's got patents on CBD pellets. He's got patents pending. This guy is so ahead of the curve on growing hemp. It's amazing that here he is. But again, I digress. We're talking about CBDs.
I kind of lost track. So what else do you want to talk about CBDs today? So we did the sort of brief overview on being anti-inflammatory. You've been talking to, I know, Dr. Shelley Turner lately a little bit about CBD and how much people should take it. And
well, this was the question I had when I knew we were interviewing the rock star Biff Naked, and I've been wanting to talk to him since we started this process, this podcast. It's been on my story list board. I got a hold of Dr. Turner. She sort of allows me to ask her questions. She's very gracious that way. And I said, Dr. Turner, what is the difference between a marijuana-derived CBD from a marijuana plant opposed to a hemp-derived CBD? And again, people, remember what we're saying here, that when we use the term marijuana and we use the word hemp, we're defining hemp as industrial hemp that has less than 0.003 THC.
Right.
So that's how we're defining hemp. Whereas we know, like, and I think Lyle talks about the Charlotte's Web and stuff. I don't know about that. I haven't had a chance to go and research it. But we know that there's lots of companies out there that are trying to get high levels of CBD in marijuana plants.
Right.
Right.
But it sounds like, according to Lyle, and I don't doubt him, that every time they get like a 20% CBD plant, their THC quantity goes up above this magic 0.03%.
So it becomes a marijuana plant.
Right.
And the issue becomes, of course, is the cost of isolating the CBD, the cost of harvesting that many plants. I mean, the big issue for CBDs is everybody wants it, right? So now the industry is saying, well, let's just grow our whole 10 acres of hemp, you can farm it and just give us the CBDs. And Lyle's saying, no, it doesn't work that way because not in that mass amounts. That's what he's perfected. So So I think when I asked Shelley about, you know, the difference, she pretty much said, I think CBD is CBD. So hemp CBD or marijuana CBD, it's still going to react to the body the same way.
Yeah. And I think one of the big, we'll call it business reasons for hemp-derived CBD, where everyone's excited about hemp-derived CBD, I think it's just easier to sell because it's not, if it's marijuana-derived, especially in the States, well, you can't sell across state borders because, you know, one state is cannabis legal, next state isn't, but hemp-derived CBD is now not marijuana, and so it's easier to sell to more people. And I'm assuming, and people can correct me, but I assume that's one of, and maybe even from the public stigma point of view, is I don't want anything to do with that marijuana stuff, but I want to try CBD. Well, if this came from hemp, then I'm not having anything to do with marijuana. So I think it's easier to sell and maybe easier to market if it's quote unquote hemp derived.
I think I agree with that because Biff also mentioned that because when I asked her about her relationship with cannabis, she pretty much said, well, I don't, it's a CBD. So she doesn't see it as cannabis. She sees it as CBD. And also in America, Trump, I think last year signed the Farmers Act, which allowed farmers in America now to grow hemp. So hemp is legal federally in America, whereas cannabis, marijuana is not.
Right. So if you get hemp-derived CBD, yeah, it could go anywhere.
So that's that. I mean, I was very excited to talk to Hemp Sense. I appreciate it again. People are so gracious in giving us stories. As a nurse, always, if you are investigating CBDs and you're interested in doing it, please talk to your health professional, talk to a nurse practitioner, talk to your doctor. Make sure you're buying your products from a recognized, legitimate store and you've done your proper research.
And to be the wet blanket pharmacist, because that's what we do. Remember, as good as CBD is and as probably benign as it is, it can interact with medications. I'm not saying don't do it, but keep your healthcare practitioner in the line and, you know, maybe go back and listen to our Live or Let Die episode when we were listening to toxicologists, basically just looking at how CBD affects the liver and your liver breaks down so many different drugs that liver CBD interactions, they're going to be a thing. Yeah, I'm not saying we can't do them together, but just keep your pharmacist, doctor, nurse practitioner, etc., in the loop, because if you take CBD and you're on certain medications, things might not go exactly as planned. Doesn't mean we can't do it, but we just have to know what's going on.
If you're using cannabis, okay, I'm going to use the overall word cannabis. If you're using cannabis as medicine, be responsible. Talk to your health practitioners. Don't hide it from them. Let's get rid of the stigma. I mean, cannabis is legal. It's been legal as medicine for almost 20 years. It's been legal as recreational. It's so funny. It's so funny to have conversations. I've said that I work at the Dauphin Jail.
While we still have one.
That's we're losing the Dauphin Jail, people. The government is pulling the funding and we're losing 80 jobs out of our community.
Anyway, different podcast.
But I often sit and have long conversations with officers and more patients, inmates, on cannabis, like trying to remove the stigma about cannabis and getting people talking about it. And it is odd sometimes to be sitting in a jail behind bars having a legitimate conversation about something that was completely illegal.
Three years ago. Yeah.
Not even. I mean, I can't even remember how long it's been legal. Can't remember half the things in my life. But it's just, so let's remove the stigma. Let's talk about cannabis. Ensure your health practitioner knows about it. We are Reefer Medness, the podcast.
I'm Trevor Schufeld. I'm the pharmacist.
And I'm Kirk Nyquist. I'm the nurse. And
we're going to advertise now?
We need to have that. We need to get some sponsorship.
Okay. People should sponsor us. Why, Kirk?
Because we ask smart questions.
And more importantly for your business, we get your message out in front of lots of canna-positive people. So if you have especially a cannabis-related business or something where you want to talk to canna-positive people, we are your conduit.
Yes. See, I couldn't have said it better.
Good.
And also, if you have a My Cannabis Story, Trevor is searching.
Oh, I love My Cannabis Story.
I got a 45-minute cannabis story. My cannabis
coming up in a week. Yeah, yeah, that one's good. But yeah, whether you love cannabis, hate cannabis, whether it's done wonderful or terrible things for you, go to our website, look up My Cannabis Story, all the information there. Basically, you're going to record a minute-ish My Cannabis story on your phone, email it to us, and we'd love to put it on the show because we love hearing them and everybody else does too.
We're getting great feedback on My Cannabis stories. So now, okay, I'm done. I'll surrender the mic.
Okay. Yeah. Renee, what do you have us for music this week?
Well, since this Hemp Sense interview was done in Gilbert Plains, I figured try to localize it to that. And Kayla Lukey, of course, has that wonderful little place, Old September, and Jackson Haldane performed there, I think it was last week. So today's tune is by Jackson Haldane, and it's called Crystal.
Thanks, Renee. That sounds great. Kirk, people should really, really come see us again next week. Why?
We have a very exciting... Oh, we've already told them. Biff Naked's playing with us.
It's still exciting.
It's exciting.
Come back Valentine's Day with Biff Naked and Reefer Madness, the podcast.
And there's a surprise.
And yeah, we haven't given away all the surprises. Got to come back. You'll learn more.
Like the show? Let us know. We're Reefer Madness on Instagram and Facebook, at Reefer Madness on Twitter, or head over to the website at reefermed.ca to find out what we're all about and what's coming up next.
My soul is an old leaky basement. Regret is a meaningful word. Try to muster a luster from the concrete of memory. Once it's poured and it's set and it's cured, morals don't seem to mean nothing when you're thinking on making the scene. Praying on teens, laying beatings on queens. What I did just came naturally. And I met some with doom in their future. And I met some with power and grace. I met one named Crystal, tornado twisted, who laid me completely to waste. It started out roses and rainbows, but it soon became briar and hail. Soda pop sweet on occasion, but mostly bitter as India pale. She drained all the life from my body. I was her little puppet to play. She led me to strife and a beggarly life, then drove all my loved ones away. She never cared much to have me, but she couldn't bear setting me free. Pure evil distillate, her name was Crystal, and she turned her pistol on me. Street down in Houston, everything that I owned was my last. I got low when the bottle was empty. I got high with some kind ones that passed. Stayed with some fellas in Utah, shared stories of squatting a wife. Each one of us hitched to the same crooked bitch. She's hot and cold, she's quick with a knife. She's like a poisonous arrow flung from a place you can't see. Soft as a thistle, her name was Crystal, and she turned her pistol on me. She came to my bedroom this morning, all twitchy and wanting her way. And I may survive to the end of this drive, but I'll probably arrive DOA. The old leaky basement is flooding, but there's one debt we're all born to pay. And though I may be dying, I still can't help but pine for the crystal that made me this way. Well, she never cared much to have me, she couldn't bear setting me free. Pure evil distillate, her name was Crystal, and she turned her pistol on me. Pure evil distillate, Her name was Crystal, and she turned her pistol on me.
Guys. Yeah, well, that was one of my favorite quotes. For the first 6 years, I took off the crop and they failed six times.
Yeah, okay. Okay, good. So, good. And okay, good. All right, let's go.